cool. Oh.
New version.
Isn't that based off the movie? It looks like
nope.
it.
Nope. It just has the characters in it.
The movie was based off the comics.
Yep.
Well, we're saying, is this new one
based off more, the movie? No, it's it not has the characters, one. Yeah. So I figured it'd be fun to do it and then later on do the movie when it comes out. Yay!
Hi, this is Joe Field, the founder of Free Comic Book Day and Flying Colors Comics in Concord, California, and you are listening to the Comic Pop Library.
There are people in this world who have always known the difference between right and wrong. And there are times in a person's life the decisions are made in the blink of an eye. And then you'll know what you're made of deep inside. And heroes come in every shape and size. They will do anything they have to do. And sometimes you wonder, would I do the same? But don't you know there's a hero in a song?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Heroes, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with...
April.
Logan.
Jonathan.
And in tonight's episode, we are going to be looking at the graphic novel, The Activity, Volume 1. And the story is by Nathan Edmondson, art by Mitch Gerads. I hope I pronounced that right, Mitch. Colorists, we have a couple of them in here. We have Kyle Latino, Joseph Frazetta, Jordan Gibson... And then on letterers, we have two. We have Mitch Gerads again and Jeff Powell. And this first volume came out in 2012 from Image Comics. And yes, April's showing it to me. Looks like she wants to say something.
No, I'm just showing it to okay. you. I'm,
She's
I'm
Vanna.
Modeling it. That's what I do, you know. You might, it might help you out. It might help you remember things.
Can I say that? Because I'm going to show you my favorite part of this whole book.
To kind of get, just to mention the artwork, to kind of do that right away, the artwork in it is kind of darker because this is a Black Ops book. It's about an anti-terrorist team. And they're technically above the Delta Force, so they're stepped above them.
They're G.I. Joe.
Kind of, but not the cartoony version of them, I guess.
It's more of a secret op type deal.
It's a Black Ops.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the team members that are here, we have a First Sergeant Danny Locke. He's the team leader, codenamed Weatherman. We have Major Zoe Dallas. She does intel. Her codename is Bookstore. And Sergeant Leslie Ryan, she's in the languages. She's Omaha 1, and this book, pretty much, she is in her first mission on this.
Right.
And later she gets the call sign Fiddler. And then a Master Sergeant Luke Stiles, he's a sniper, and his codename is Switchfoot, or nickname. We have Francis Doyles, which is Speakeasy, and he's of Lebanese descent, and he's definitely does language and computer skills. And they call themselves the ISA, Intelligence Support Activity. So they don't necessarily go in and do an operation. They gather intelligence, and if need be, they can do actual military ops as well. So they actually go in and do the intel for, like, Delta Force or a SEAL team or something to go in.
So they're not actually in attack.
They can if
go
need
into,
be.
Like, offensive missions. They're more of a...
they're
gathering.
Right, they're more of gathering, and if they need to, they can do an op if need to, though.
Okay.
They basically do ops in this one, though.
Yep.
Right.
The code names, this is, you know, April said G.I. Joe. Even in G.I. Joe, this is just part of the military lifestyle.
Right.
People get the nicknames. For instance, for me, you know, I was in the infantry, and if I would have gotten to a fire team, most people probably would have called me superhero or a hero or something like that because I'm into comic books.
Right.
Because they usually do something that you're really enthusiastic about, or it's something that's not necessarily in the positive light. It's something that you've done embarrassing, and they give you that as well.
See,
so superhero, in a sense, could, you know, even though I'm fine with it, it could be a negative term too, because you're like, okay, we got superhero coming in now, you know, and it's a sarcastic one.
So. My nickname in the military was Hot Rod.
Okay.
I still don't understand that
one. Yeah. What'd you do in there?
Well, I was thinking, at first I went to Hot Wheels, but I'm like, Hot Wheels isn't your thing, isn't your main thing, last I knew. So.
Well, I think it was because I was always just so hot on trying to get something accomplished, and I pushed myself a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's how they ended up saying me was like a Hot Rod.
True.
So, but my favorite part on this whole book is the very, very end of it.
they have
a picture of the writer in the drawer.
And
the
it's like
artist,
security camera.
And
type.
They have like security camera things, like they're the ones being hunted. I thought that was really, really neat.
And they have guns out, and the one whose profile is at the bottom, one of the last words, last line of defense for the Harold and his cat, or
something. And his cat. There we go.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't.
Oh, right.
I didn't read this.
He's the last line of defense between the globe and his cat. No chunks.
Yeah, I didn't read this, but yeah, just flipping through it, I saw that last page. I'm like, that's pretty cool. I've never seen that before. Right. That's neat.
Go ahead. Sorry.
There's one thing that I really also liked in here.
Mm-hmm.
There was one where they were saying "From Love" from the janitor.
Yeah,
that's Logan's favorite part.
That
and they said "Whiskey Tango Foxtrot." And for anybody who's not in military and who doesn't know what that means, it means WTF.
Yep, true.
And I thought it was kind of cool that they incorporated some of the military aspects in it, especially the military alphabet.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I was going to mention, was that the creators, they did research this. They made it as real as possible. That's why, you know, things go wrong. Nothing always goes right. That's why they use the nomenclature.
Right.
They have the weapons. Sometimes they give a description of the weapon, their actual weapons that are in use. It's not made up stuff. They're wanting to keep it as realistic as possible.
And I saw that. The one thing that I wasn't too crazy about was there was not too much of a storyline.
I don't know if there's going to be a third volume or not. There's two volumes for sure, but they're kind of short stories.
Right.
And
for me, it was kind of just all over the place.
And I think that's because this is kind of getting a little ahead. In the second volume, they try to dive into a little bit of a storyline.
Okay.
With the different people and the sacrifices they have to make.
Right. So, like, more still, of the backstories.
Right, but it's still light. The main emphasis are the missions.
Right.
So it's still the choppy feel, like you said.
Right. Well, because, like you were saying about Speakeasy, like, they were on a mission, and then out of nowhere, he's at home with his wife and kids. And I'm like,
what just happened?
What?
Yeah.
Flashback.
Where is this?
And when that did they give a little indication of a
not
change?
At all.
That's what I don't
usually,
like even more, is when they don't give a change.
When they're back
indication.
Home, it's usually a lighter atmosphere than when they're in mission.
They're on the mission right there, and then all of a sudden he's home.
And that's, I'd have to look at that to see what's going on. But when they go home, they tend to make it a little brighter. When they're on a mission, they make it a little bit more darker and grittier.
Right.
So that's a difference in art styles
that's
that they try
to employ.
That's
called going home from debriefing.
Okay, so he was actually just going home.
Yeah.
Because the stories are pretty short.
But look here. There's a mission there. And then they go here. And then they go there.
Yeah. And look at here, him literally leaving the building to go home.
So he was in the debrief.
But the mission before that is what I'm saying.
So just
so
a
how
bit...
they get from the mission to the debriefing all that fast.
It was just a well, bit too choppy. A...
Right.
Right.
Time and skip. Deal. There's right. a time skip. Right.
They do utilize time skips, and that's probably what happened there.
I get confused on those too sometimes, like reading books and stuff. I'm so set on one thing that's going on that when it does a time skip or a flashback or anything that changes it, I keep reading it like I'm still in my other mindset. So I'm like, why this makes no sense?
Right.
True.
But yeah, I get why it's confusing a bit.
And to give you an idea of the missions and what we're talking about being choppy, each chapter is basically a mission. And the first one is in Rome, and it's nighttime. And
I thought the first one was in Mexico.
This one is in Rome. It's nighttime. Weatherman's has a laser target.
Can I see that real quick?
I'd have to look at it again.
Because the first one, they were talking in Spanish.
That's because it's in Mexico.
That's what I'm saying. The first mission was in Mexico.
One and a half pages.
Yeah, for 1.5 pages. So they're finishing up that mission.
Are you talking about the actual full mission?
First full mission where the newcomer comes in.
Right.
Who becomes Fiddler is her call sign.
And then they go back to Mexico because there's another section where they're talking in Spanish.
So does this focus?
Well, this is where...
Colombia.
We go to Rome. The next one is in the Netherlands. The third one is in Afghanistan. Then the fourth one's back in Colombia.
So
and then the last one's in Thailand.
Do they have a focus on Fiddler, or is it just the team in general we follow?
They're bringing in... Go ahead, Logan. I'm sorry.
Pretty sure it's just the team.
Yeah, it's pretty much team. Fiddler's the focus because she's coming in
new and
fresh.
Well, yeah, that's what I would think, since she's the new character.
She is a bit of a focus, but she's not the biggest focus. Right.
Okay.
There's not a big
backstory
like we were talking earlier.
So do we have favorites?
I
always have a favorite. When it's like a team, I have a favorite all the time.
I didn't really get a sense of a favorite.
No.
For me, I would probably have to say it kind of shifted for me because I liked the team leader, Weatherman, but I also liked the sniper Switchfoot a couple of times. But he could be a real dick at times too in the storyline. So I liked his position as a sniper, but not necessarily his attitude when he came back because he was riding. And you always have this within a team dynamic. When you have a new person there, you're going to have somebody riding them just to test their mantle.
And that's his role. When
Fiddler actually went into it, they started pulling a series of practical jokes on her. Like they put her jacket on top of a broomstick in the broomstick
closet.
And
that wasn't them. That was the... Guys from the radio
CIA
thing
or something?
Radar area.
I remember that
Which
one
is why they retaliated with the giant radar thing from the janitors with love.
True. But I think the artwork is not the cleanest. I mean, when you think of comic book artwork, you kind of think of clean, smooth lines.
Right.
Or like I said, this is more of a jagged line to, I think, portray the real life-ness of it, the... You know, at any moment, you could be hurt or killed. It's dirty to a degree when they're at home. Like I said, they're kind of in a brighter area. When they're at the base or on mission, they kind of have it darker. And pretty much, and we get this with Fiddler in the very first part when she's coming in to the unit. You know, a person is questioning her, but he can't tell her what it's about. He can only say so much. And then she has to agree to go in, and then at that point, she can't go back after that point.
Yep. Okay.
She's that's pretty much
under
the way
disclosure laws.
The military works.
And there's some, very few, but some hints, if I remember correctly, that someone within the area of their government is trying to take their part of the group down.
Right, there are hints of that. That's a little bit of a backstory too. You're right, Logan. And sometimes I wish they would leave that alone and they could bring that in later on.
Right.
Or, you know, establish the team. Let them get some missions under their belt. Prove
and
that they could do this
in.
Stuff.
Right.
And bring it in. Not so fast.
Bring in what? I zoned out.
Somebody, a mole on the inside trying to bring him down.
Okay.
They're trying to bring him down.
I was like, I zoned out so hard right there.
I could tell because you weren't saying anything.
Oh, thanks.
I was getting a little worried about you there.
I thought it was just that blank cow look. Like,
but this is when April kind of equated it to G.I. Joe. It is kind of like that, but it's more real life. There's not the superhero type aspect to it.
And leave no witnesses.
True. Right. There is that. Because if you're on a mission, more times than not, these guys are so far into the black ops that if you remember the TV show a while back called The Unit, and it kind of centered around Delta Force in a sense, but they just called it The Unit, and they did black ops. And they're so far into the black that, you know, when they go on missions, if something goes wrong, they just cut you loose.
Right.
And you, if you make your way back, great. But if you're exposed to an extent, when they cut you loose, your own government's even hunting you to shut you down, shut you up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So these guys are always under that threat where if you're just a regular soldier, you know, you're going to be coming back and have a little bit of protection where, you know, the special ops, sometimes they are kind of out on that limb. And it's one of those that's not talked about, but people know about it, and especially people in the military that, you know, it's happening.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's kept quiet. And
they don't have open auditions.
No.
Not open auditions.
No.
Like, it's the annual Delta Force audition.
Know,
like,
SEAL teams got a spotlight because of, you know, the killing of the Afghanistani leader.
Right. Ali?
No.
Just kidding. That's a boxer.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
God, just went completely blind.
No, Hussein.
Not Bin Laden.
Hussein?
Hussein Bolt. He's a track star.
I just went completely blank. But when they killed him, the teal, I can't remember what number the SEAL team was, but when they killed him and, you know, they got a spotlight on them that they really didn't want. You know, they're not supposed to be operating in spotlight.
Right.
You know, they're supposed to be behind and quiet. So that kind of backfired
on them.
When
you kill that person, it's going to be a big deal. I mean, they didn't kill him in the most secretive way either.
They tried to, but one of their helicopters went down.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's why I say you never know what's going to happen on a mission.
Right.
And with everybody having video recorders now, that makes it even harder.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they pretty much with a, you know, and it was a stealth helicopter. So they, you know, they revealed that to the world that we had stealth helicopter. Plus, you know, SEAL teams are active.
I thought we already knew we had stealth helicopter.
We knew they were in productions and testing, but not necessarily in use.
Oh.
They, because it's the, I think they modified, was it the Rangers? What is the Blackhawk Ranger? Sorry. The Blackhawk, I think they modified it to be stealthy, but there's also an attack helicopter that's stealth, which is called the Comanche.
Okay.
So the stealth, you know, it's, the people pretty much know it's there, but they try to keep it as quiet as possible.
Yeah. Okay.
Because to give you that, for instance, back in the 80s, they retired, or the 90s, they retired the SR-71 Blackbird. It was our spy plane.
Yeah.
And that was in the 80s or 90s, I can't remember. But it was actually flying missions as far back as the 60s. But nobody knew about it. They were just conjecturing that this is up there and this is probably there. But nobody could say for sure, for definitely, sure. that was in service.
Yeah.
So they try to keep it as secretive as possible. But, and that's what I appreciated with this book. The artwork... I kind of would have liked it to be a little bit more cleaner and not as rough, but it fit the story.
Yeah.
So I could go along with the artwork. But for my taste, I could have liked it to be a little bit more cleaner. Story-wise, if they continue on, I know, like I said, I know there's a second volume. I'm hoping they thread in a little bit more of a storyline than just mission. I try to get a little bit of a backstory on some of the characters.
Well, yeah, because if you... Yeah, I understand them doing little short stories to get you in the groove of, all right, this is what they do. And then, threading in some of that backstory and making them more human.
And then
that'd be cool.
And then after the payoff for that, which some people might not say is a payoff, but with the backstory, you get people vested in the character. And if something happens to them, even if they die in a mission, you know, that, so, ooh, man, I wasn't expecting that. And with these type of teams... You expect a rotation of characters to a degree.
Right.
Where, like, again, going back to April's deal with G.I. Joe, nobody really dies.
They can't die.
Right? So I have a feeling if this does continue on and getting a little bit more backstory, I think we will see main characters kind of being...
Killed off
and new ones
coming
in.
And new ones coming in,
to try to keep that realism still going.
See, that's... So. that's kind of a double-edged sword.
True.
Because once you get invested in a character and they're killed off, you don't give a crap about the new kid.
Right. Yeah.
You don't... And then once you start getting a brand new team, you know, but like everyone's...
Sometimes when you have the same character continuously over and over and over, you'll be like, when are they going to bring in a new one?
But
where's the new one?
One of the best mangas I've read, one of the main characters killed halfway through. And I think you guys liked it too.
Yu Yu Hakusho?
No. Death Note. L.
L was killed.
Oh, man.
That was a surprise when you're just reading along. It was like, oh, my goodness.
But
that got me more interested into the story after
It got
that.
Me less interested. Oh, because I remember watching it too. Up until L died, I was so invested. I was like, yes. And then L died, and they brought in...
M.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was M. They brought in this new guy, and I couldn't take him seriously at all. And so that's where I kind of checked out, and I got into that half watch, half don't pay attention. Because.
So that's why, a little bit.
Yeah, I'm an emotional reader. So.
And to me, sometimes that's where, oh, nobody's safe. This is good.
Right.
You know, you never know where the story's going to change on you.
I don't mind people getting killed off. Obviously, like some darker stuff, you know. But don't build up so much backstory and so much love. Like, could you imagine Walking Dead killing off Daryl?
Never know.
Because they would lose much.
Daryl's not part of the support. Graphic novel.
Well, I know.
You know, so there's two different storylines creating, but when you create that sense of nobody's safe, everybody's always on pins and needles.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I can see your point. You know, the fans of Daryl, if he gets killed, will be upset.
Like, we're going to either have a riot and you might be losing tons of fans right there. Because I know a lot of fangirls that watch it for Daryl.
How about if the person who they had as the main character dies?
Rick, the sheriff? Or not sheriff, but deputy?
Deputy.
Yeah. Well, I know
he was the sheriff.
He can die. I'm not too invested in him. I like Glenn. He's my favorite.
See the Asian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he's my favorite.
He's been my favorite since he first showed up.
I don't remember all the names. But yeah, I like him the best. He's he's the fast, sneaky one. And as we found out, pretty tough, too.
Yeah. All right.
But we're diving off into...
a different series.
Yeah. Right. Bring it back to activity. This is one I think all libraries could slip it into their collections. Because of the nature, you might want to keep it, you know, 14 and up. But this is one that...
Is there a lot of blood?
Not
I mean,
really.
I'm
not really.
Obviously people die in it,
people
but
die,
is it
but
just like
not,
a death?
It's like a death. You'll see.
It's not like
you'll see some blood, but not a splat. And
it's not like
there's
not
a little
like
bit of torture
revival
in there, but it's not
all right.
Too bad.
Okay, because then it depends like with the boys and everything.
Right.
And there's a little bit of blood, like if you get a sniper hit or you're taking them out, there's a
well, like
puff
a little,
of blood.
Yeah, but it's not too bad. Okay.
And sometimes if they're hit and walking, you'll see the wound kind of, you know, the blood running down. Because
to me, it's not someone dying or getting hurt that determines where you should place it so much as how much do they make out of it. Like, revival makes a big deal with the blood and the gore and all that, but... Since activity just as little splutters of it, you know, I don't see it as being as big a problem.
It's not, but because of the complexity of their missions, I would say at least 14, if not maybe a little older, because some of the missions are a little confusing.
Right.
And it even took me a little bit of time. Okay, now I'm on track.
Go back a couple pages, reread.
Right. And that's part of the confusion of an active operation, you know. So things will change at a short notice. You're like, oh, or you're... It's a fast pace, and you get confused within that. And I think the writer tried to convey that with the writing, too, with being chaotic. So, in a sense, because of that, they need to be a little older, but not because of bloodshed or anything like that.
I was trying not to knock anything.
The ship is tilted on the wall now. I was just watching you, like, push it back.
I was trying not to knock anything down. It didn't quite work.
It didn't. Die
but
or anything.
No. But I would say with activity, any library would be fine having this. I know, like I said, there are two volumes. That might be all that there is out there at this point. I don't know if there's going to be any more, but it's
that's another a good hard series. Thing with the graphic novels. You never know
when they're going to stop,
how many are coming out, or if it's been canceled, if it's just a short series.
If it's going to be 9 or 50.
Because I bet the library's going to say, like, is this worth the investment?
It's because the stories are how they are. You're not being left off with a big cliffhanger, per se.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
It's just the missions and all that. So I think it'd be all right that way. Plus, in how I look at it, since I've been reading comic books so long and have been facing that.
You just get over it.
Yeah, get over it, go on to the next thing. And a lot of your comic book readers are going to be that way as well. They know that series get canceled.
Yeah.
So that does happen. Anything else from you guys?
Nope.
All right. I think that's going to do it for us tonight. We appreciate everybody listening out there. We're having fun here. Hope you guys are having fun as well. We will see you on the next go around.
Bye.
Bye.
There are times where time stands still for the people that fight to teach us in this life. They see things we'll never imagine. It will either make us strong or set us free. Sometimes that separates them from me. And heroes come in every shape and size. They will do anything they have to do. And sometimes you wonder, would I do the same? Don't you know there's a hero in a song?
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.